Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome in to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, a conversation with Rhode Island-based 14-year-old weather forecaster Ryan Lukowitz. So a couple of weeks ago, I got an email from Ryan Lukowitz, who, as I described in the show open, is a 14-year-old kid from North Kingstown who has begun his own weather forecasting via digital media. So he's got a Facebook operation. He's got even a podcast now. And I thought, man, this is fascinating stuff. The next generation of RJ Himes and Mark Searles out there, folks. So I get a lot of email from all of you out there, and I really appreciate it. By the way, it's bill@ripodcast.com. Send me a message anytime. But when Ryan wrote, I was like, man, you got to come on the pod and we got to make this happen fast. This is a great story. I think you're all going to enjoy this conversation a lot, and it's perfect for a Friday in July, let's face it. So hopefully this is a nice respite from some of the heavier news that we've been getting into here on B-Town, and obviously everywhere has been pretty heavy in 2020. No doubt about it, right? This should be a nice break from that. A fun Rhode Island story. Ryan Lukowitz. Coming up on B-Town in just a matter of moments. Hey, Rhode Island, Bartholomew Town is your local election central here in the Ocean State. We'll be bringing you candidate profiles, focusing in on issues, and analyzing policy for you, beginning in just a couple of weeks as we approach the primaries. And a great way that you can support the pod, well, there's a few of them. One, you can share the pod on social media, tell a friend, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening right now. And if you want to take it up another notch, you can head over to our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/Bartholomew. For as little as $3 a month, you can help support the journalism, opinion, analysis, and entertainment that Bartholomew Town has become known for here in the Ocean State. You also have the opportunity to become a B-Town Insider, which will enable you to get exclusive content, including an episode every month that's only for B-Town Insiders. In July, we had Dr. Luis Daniel Munoz on to kind of break down the COVID-19 numbers, the governor's strategy, the State Department of Health strategy. Where is it all going? What does it mean for school reopenings? That's content that was only made available to the B-Town Insiders. It's patreon.com/Bartholomew Town. And thanks to all of you listeners out there who have helped to make B-Town Rhode Island's leading politics, news, media, and culture podcast. All right, let's get right to it with emerging Rhode Island-based broadcaster Ryan Lukowitz here on B-Town. I saw your email address, so I'm guessing you're a North Kingstown resident.
Yes. I like to use my school email for everything. It just keeps it all in one place.
Yeah. Well, North Kingstown, highly underrated by some people. You know what I mean? Right? You get the 20 minutes to Newport.
Oh, yeah.
20 minutes to Providence. Nice access to the ocean. Nice access to the woods. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you love Rhode Island? Do you feel like, you know, as you plant the seeds for your career, are you trying to, you know, kind of grow here at minimum, or you maybe even stay here? What's your thoughts on that?
It's a possibility. I love Rhode Island. I mean, it's a great place, you know, awesome beaches, awesome food. I don't know if I'll stay here. I mean, it's certainly a fun place to do the weather with, you know, summer heat and, you know, the on occasional hurricane that we might get, you know, I don't know, every decade or so. And then, of course, you've got the winters, which feature a lot of snow. So
let's just get right into, when did you realize, because forecasting weather, you know, there's obviously a tremendous amount of science and understanding of nuances of the region involved in that, but there's also a performative aspect to it. I mean, if you look at the great, even in our own market here, the great weather people are great on camera, or if they're on radio, they've got a really strong voice. So it's really this convergence of two very almost like classical skill sets, you know, arts and performance. So when did you realize that that was the direction that you wanted to pursue? You know, because I remember certainly being, I remember writing to Frank Coletta and Art Lake. Art Lake was the weatherman on Channel 10 forever, for like literally like 60 years, when I was like 8 years old, and being like, I want to be a broadcaster. I know it. You know what I mean? I knew it early on. How long have you felt this passion?
It's been a while, probably since late elementary school. So like 4 years. And it just started with watching the news every night and seeing the weather people. And I guess I was always exposed to the news and, you know, watching Channel 10 or Channel 12 every night at, you know, 6 o'clock during dinner, and you see the top stories and you see the local weather forecast. And it's just sort of, you're right, it was cool because, you know, I think I personally have a good speaking voice, and, you know, weather really is a little bit of everything. You could argue it's history because, you know, you have to know where weather came from and how we got to today. It's also a little bit of writing in English, because you want to, you know, if you're writing that weather blog or weather post, then you have to know how to do that. And of course there's numbers, so math. So, you know, people ask me what my favorite subject is, and it's a little bit of everything. You know, I don't have a favorite, because weather is mostly science, but of course it does impact other sectors of the of subjects, if you will.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of a broadcast, particularly on television, you know, weather carries the station. I mean, I'm sure when Gene Valicente hears that, he's going to, you know, somebody's going to throw a brick through my window for saying it. But, you know, the reality is the weather person is very much so what carries news and information on the television format, and really in other formats as well. So, you know, I think people in general value that. You mentioned 10 and 12. That's fascinating. So who are your favorite Rhode Island weather people?
You know, the reality is they're all good at different things. And to be completely honest with you, I'm always a fan of 12 in the mornings and 10 at night. I don't know. I just like the people. Generally, I mean, of course, I watch 10 in the morning and 12 at night. But and Channel 10 has really, with the addition of Mario, and they've got, they had Lindsay in a promoted role. Now she's nights temporarily, I believe. But so the answer is now, I guess it's a little bit of both in the mornings. But, you know, it's always 10 at night with those just voices, you know, Patrice and Jean, and now they've got a Dan and Emily and Mark Searles. The reality is they're all good. And of course, you know, on the weekends, you've got Kelly Bates, who's a staple. You know, we could go on and on, but they all have all stations and all people, I think, have their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, I would agree with that very much so. I grew up a Big Ten fan, and 12 has really, in the last, I don't know, since I've been back in Rhode Island, you know, they've really been able to make a move on Channel 10. And sometimes I question who is the actual most viewed station, because I hear so many people say they watch 12 now. 10, of course, has that brand. And as you say, they have that. It's tough to compete with their 6 o'clock.
Know.
You know, there's no question about it. But that's fascinating that you're 14, right?
Yes.
So like the next generation of viewers is, you know, and I feel that way too. Like I'm not dead set on I like to read the Globe. I like to read the Projo. I listen to WPRO and a little bit of, you know, and a lot of podcasts, you know, and then of course I watch even ABC 6 sometimes, you know what I mean? Kind of like the little engine that could station, yeah, so to speak.
No. And I will say, you know, Channel 12 has also, as you know, taken off with the digital side of things. You know, I like to read their website a lot. So if you ask, you know, the structure of the newscast I like better, it's probably 10. But you know, these people like Ted Nesi, and now they've really expanded on their investigative unit, and so they, you know, they have certainly put a focus on that, and that's, you know, I think that's where journalism is heading. You have to be everywhere.
No question. No question about it. Digital and terrestrial. No question about it. All right. So you have a podcast and you forecast the weather on Facebook and other platforms, I'm guessing. So can you kind of talk about how you build your forecasts and how you've been able to connect with an audience?
Yeah. So graphic wise, I do it. I do use graphics from the National Weather Service. And of course, they get credit with all their photos. I really haven't found a good graphic system I like. It's tough. If you find a good one, they're ridiculously expensive. And the National Weather Service graphics are so easy to read and understand that it makes sense just to go with them. But in terms of the written part of it, it's all about, people always say, accuracy, but I think it's more really about how you present it, making it easy to understand and really, saying, okay, we've got this chance of thunderstorms today. We don't know exactly where they're going to pop up. So part of it is transparency, and part of it is simply getting it right, but it's not that simple, of course. So there's a lot that goes into it. And I think it's, when I do I usually wake up and I have a routine of checking, some stations. I also look at the Boston stations, sometimes the Connecticut stations, just to get different input from a whole bunch of meteorologists and services. And then I'll go on and sort of take that and write my own forecast. And, it sounds stupid, but it starts with a nice intro, good whatever morning, and just being friendly and being like I care about each one of the people who are reading my forecast. I think that's really important and critical.
What kind of support have you gotten from North Kingstown School, from the North Kingstown School District, or inside the building? I mean, have they embraced this and given you opportunities inside the actual brick and mortar infrastructure, or have you really been finding your audience in spite of, the school department?
It's a little bit of both. Of course, I do have a lot of teachers and staff members within the school community that do follow me, and I'm sort of, everybody knows that I do weather at school. A lot of them ask me for forecasts, which is really great, and they know I want to be a meteorologist when I grow up. So they've certainly embraced it, and they've embraced me as a person, with my blindness, really, which we'll get into, really supporting me. And I'm so lucky that I go to North Kingstown Schools, because there are a lot of other districts where I've heard horror stories from. Look at the report that came out last year about Providence schools. And I know a lot of blind children who go to Providence schools and other districts that are not in great shape right now. And I feel for them. And it's too bad that not everybody is treated equally. And just because of your zip code, you get a different education. So nevertheless, I'm thankful to have the support and to go to North Kingstown schools.
Your superintendent, Phil Auger, was the vice principal of my high school when I was at Charahoe. And he stood out because we had, it was a pretty good place to go to school, but there were a lot of, there was a little bit of an overemphasis on athletics. And look, I'm involved in sports. I referee soccer, and I played golf with it when I was at Charahoe, whatever. It's not like I'm anti-sports, but there's a tremendous overemphasis on it. And right. I remember Auger stepping in at one point and providing me a platform for my music and for my, sort of liberal arts exploration, and some of the things we were doing filmmaking about the King Philip's War, and he was an incredible leader in that sense, where he was able to push against sort of the traditional version of what that building was and allow for someone like myself and some others to have a platform and elevate the work that we were doing. So I wonder if that has trickled down in North Kingstown as a whole, and you're able to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know him well. I know of him. He knows of me, but you know, it all starts with a good leader, you know, somebody at the top, you know, really. And I think you just did a perfect testimony to his greatness and why the district as a whole is the way it is.
Hey, Rhode Island, Bilby here. Whether you're strutting around downtown Providence on your way to a socially distant cookout or riding the waves of Matunic, okay, well, maybe not inside the ocean, wear a mask. It's an easy way to save lives and help to crush COVID here in Rhode Island.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Discover daily digital content on social media channels by Bartholomew Town. You can join the Facebook group by simply heading to www.btown.stream. I've got a couple of different Instagram options. There's Instagram at Bartholomew Town Podcast, and you can follow me at Bill Bartholomew on both IG and Twitter for daily content. Let's talk about, you'd mentioned your blindness. Let's talk about your experience in life as a human being here. You know, 14, Gen Z, you know, I'm so big on Gen Z myself right now. I admire your the boldness with which your generation has taken to social justice in situations, and just in general shaping the world. I think that it's much more aggressive and with a lot more confidence than millennials like myself, where we came out of 9/11 very much so conditioned still to not defy authority too much or not push against the grain too much. But I see Gen Z, you know, really doing that. So let's talk about you personally, your experience, and then how you tie into that Gen Z narrative and how that might allow you to be a 14-year-old weather forecaster with an audience.
I know. And not to get off topic here, but it sort of does surprise me that these previous generations of ours, you know, particularly the older population, hasn't done more about this Black Lives Matter movement. Because, you know, I think our generation is craving for change, and I don't know what it is. I mean, I think it's always been something going on, and now it's, you know, something that's, you know, on the front page of the Providence Journal or the top story on the nightly news. And, you know, as horrible as the George Floyd murder was, it will do it, you know, so much is going to come out of it. I mean, you look at Juneteenth, you look at removing Providence plantations from the Rhode Island state name, you know, none of that would have happened. And I think it's great that our generation has really changed some of that. And, you know, I think the older people have just learned to live with it in a way. I hate to say that. I mean, my parents and other older relatives, of course, are upset and think it's horrible that the, you know, murder happened. But I don't know. I just don't think they feel it as much as we do. And you know, people in their teens, 20s, 30s. And it's about, I say it's about time. I say it was a good wake-up call, and I'm glad change is coming out of it. And I think it shows that regardless if it's social justice or just, you know, the next generation, generation of journalists, that this generation is doing great things. And, you know, I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely well said there. And you just wonder at what point will there be more of a conversion where more people will come on board from some of those older generations and say, because there are a lot, but where more folks who maybe have been able to not be impacted for one reason or another by these injustices will say, you know what, I want to leave a world that is significantly improved from where it was 10, 30 years ago. And I hope that number spikes in the next year to 5 years as we see more and more change happen on the grassroots and ultimately inside the halls of government. So,
yeah, agreed.
All right. From your experience, let's talk about your blindness and what is that like?
Well, it's certainly a big challenge. And you know, a lot of people ask, you know, how do you read a weather graphic? And there's no perfect answer to that. A lot of it is just, you know, other people telling me or meteorologists explaining. So thank goodness for audio. And that's why I love podcasts so much. And frankly, why I created my own. I do use an app called Seeing AI. There are a bunch of apps that, you know, try to do their best to present an audio experience through something visual. So it's not perfect, but that's how I get a lot of the graphics read to me. And, you know, the app doesn't know how the graphic is set up. There are a lot of variables. But I get enough information where I know what the graphic is, and I've made a lot of mistakes before. I mean, you know, there are times where, Facebook had a glitch a couple of months ago where, for whatever reason, when using a screen reader, you would select a photo, and for whatever reason, it would select another photo, like a random photo. I don't know why it did that. I think it's been fixed now. But and then I would post that, and, you know, my parents and other people would say, oh, you know, you must have not, you know, seen the right photo. And, you know, I've had that happen, of course, and a lot of other mistakes. And, you know, even using VoiceType, which is what I use most of the time, you know, there are going to be mistakes in my typing. I'm not perfect, and sometimes I don't always catch the mistakes. But it hasn't been easy. There have been days where I have struggled, and there are times where it takes me 20 minutes just to write a post because I want it to look as good as it can. But you know, I'm so thankful for podcasts and how they've really taken off. And of course, you can add a visual spin to them, but most of it is audio. So it's cool that for podcasts, I'm really thankful for those personally. And yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And that's certainly something that I agree with, you know, just on a general level. And I'm glad to think of it in the context of the service that the medium provides. All right, last couple of minutes here. First of all, where can people find your podcast? Where can people follow you to get the forecast that you provide?
Absolutely. So it's Behind the Weather Forecast is the name of the podcast. You can find it right as of this taping on Spotify, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, and I think Apple Podcasts and iHeartRadio and CastBox. Just have to approve it. You probably went through that a couple of years ago when you started your podcast.
Yep.
So it should be available soon wherever you listen to your podcasts. And I also have a text number. You probably heard that.
Yep. Very smart move.
No, it's a cool thing to start. And so if you can't find it anywhere, text me at the number's 401-329-2792, and you can just ask me for the link, and I'll send you the link.
Tremendous. All right. Last question is, what would you like to see change in Rhode Island right now in the next couple of years? You know, what's the biggest thing you look at and say, wow, you know, this has got to be adjusted? Whether it's a physical thing or sort of like something that you experience or feel that you can't put your finger on, what needs to change from your perspective as someone who's obviously an extremely articulate, well plugged in member of the youth community? I'm very curious about what you think the biggest change, or it could be more than one thing. What should we be focusing on right now? Obviously, social justice and everything that's there, but in a more detailed way, what do you see?
Oh my goodness, that's such a tough question.
yeah.
Oh my god! I have to say, I have been. I am a Gina Raimondo fan. I will say she's done in my opinion, I mean, there have been some bumps in the road, but she has done a great job at, you know, to this point, managing the pandemic. And you know, I've really embraced being a Rhode Islander over the past few months, because you have seen a lot of other different outcomes happen across the country. You know, we're seeing, you know, ICU beds full again, and I believe it's Miami area, and a lot of other similar situations going on. What needs to change in Rhode Island? I can't think of anything, honestly. It's a really great place to live. I mean, of course, on a social justice level, I'd love to see Providence plantations get removed. That would be a big victory. And also, you know, a Juneteenth. So but otherwise, there's not too much.
I agree. You know, with what you said, that there's those things, those social justice things need to happen and happen fast. So we'll find out if the voters are up to it on Providence Plantation. So
this is the Bartholomew Town podcast.
Stay tuned. Coming up in just a few weeks, Bartholomew Town resumes focusing in on Rhode Island elections. We've got a lot of races this year. When you look at the General Assembly, even some city council races of interest, and of course, the presidential contest, we'll break it all down for you with the experts providing analysis that you need before you head to the polls. Stay tuned. B-Town is your election central here in Rhode Island.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.